From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. A key component for any region is its public transportation system. For much of our region, that system is Lane Transit District, or LTD. At the end of fiscal year 2023, LTD carried 6 million passengers and traveled 2.8 million miles. For many people, LTD is their primary mode of travel to get to work, go to the doctors, get to school, and much more. But getting all those people to their important destinations takes more than a bus. It takes drivers, and LTD, like many transit organizations, is struggling to find the drivers they need. On the show today, you'll hear from the CEO of LTD about how they're weathering challenges like driver shortages, and you'll also hear a conversation with a driver who left retirement as a firefighter to help people get where they need to go. We're leaving the studio and hopping on the bus to talk about LTD and the road ahead. Jamison Otten, the CEO of Lane Transit District, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me today. Happy to be here.
Why don't you talk about, however you want to characterize it, the overall vision, but also within regard to the most recent sort of strategic plan you've put together. Talk about kind of your vision for LTD going forward.
You know, the vision for LTD going forward is to try to figure out how do we serve Lane County for the next 50 years. You know, we were started in 1971. We've had a really good run in providing bus service. We were one of the first to become all ADA accessible. The MX BRT system has been, you know, looked at and viewed by systems from all over the world. But now the question is, how do people use our service and how do they use other services and how do those services fit in their lives? Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah. And I would imagine that in a vibrant county such as ours, and even coming out of COVID where a lot has changed for work and whatnot, you might be seeing some pretty significant usage pattern changes for some of your routes, aren't you?
We do. You know, we see less to overall ridership,
okay,
but we see growth coming back on our MX line, you know, particularly in between the two stations that run right past the university. We see more demand for service on the weekends. Mm. We're seeing demand for Saturday service and Sunday service as well. And we're also hearing from rural communities on types of services that are needed there. And those services are not really defined by ridership. They're defined by real outcomes. How can we be a part of helping to impact food insecurity? How can we be a part of impacting how people get access to health care? And I think those are critical questions that we need to answer in different ways throughout our community. Just looking at what's going on where we sit now, we see that there's attention being paid to the infrastructure. And you know, some people get upset because it can be an inconvenience, but it's a positive thing that things are changing and action is happening, the investments being made. So I think everyone's on the same page on how do we work to improve in certain areas around our community. You know, jobs access to education, these are all things that reside with mobility. How we do it, those are the objectives. Hmm. And the alignment for that is important, but we've got to get to those goals. And yes, we can't do it on our own. And, you know, we have a wonderful organization here, Lane Council of Governments. They have stepped in and they do a lot of work in the rural communities. One partner that doesn't get a lot of sunshine is our union. You know, our union are key partners in everything that we do, and our union has been helpful as we move forward as well.
Yeah, yeah. Let me reintroduce you to our audience. We're talking with the CEO of Lane Transit District, Jamison Otten. Buses are amazing. They do amazing things, but they can only do those things if they have operators. Maybe talk a little bit about the challenges, I understand it, of finding and keeping the kind of operators that you want to be part of your family, your fleet.
Yeah, that is so paramount. And actually, that is our number one organizational goal right now. That's that one thing that everyone's pulling on the rope together because it touches so many aspects of what we do. And if you think about it, to run a bus company, you only need three real things. You need a bus, you need someone to drive it, you need someone to fix it. The rest will come, right?
Yeah.
So we're doing a good job on the buses. We have 110 of those,
okay.
30 are electric. We're having trouble on the other two parts.
Mm.
So we're looking for bus operators. We have a goal of 50 new faces by the end of this calendar year. I am absolutely sure we're going to hit that. We're doing well right now. We have a class in session. We have two more lined up behind that. Next, we're going to be turning our attention to fleet mechanics. So hard to find, but we're going to turn our attention there. We're in the process of putting together an apprenticeship program to help to allow for that sourcing. But then we're also working with other organizations to identify, you know, how can we find people that we may not have thought about before in different places as well.
Okay, obviously many industries share a similar challenge of finding people. That's something that I hear in almost every industry that we talk to. Are there particular impediments to getting those people in your industry right now? Is there a hurdle that's creating some of this challenge?
First off, I don't know where all the people have gone,
but that's a good point.
And I'm sure a lot of people are asking that question.
Yeah.
But you know, operating a bus it takes a special person. It really does. The easiest part of driving a bus is actually the driving part. That's the easiest part. In fact, I think we could get you in a training class and have you operating a bus in
I'm about highly a half skeptical,
hour.
But okay.
I think we could. But you know, bus operators interact with people, right? We're a people company that uses the medium of buses, and our operators are able to impact people. We're all creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
So our customers get to know their operator. They know when there's a new operator on that route. Our operators know when someone's running a little late. They also know when someone's out of place. They can offer different services. But then, you know, some of the things that happen in our community today are things that weren't happening just a few years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to make sure our operators are tooled up properly with how to de-escalate things and how to really help people with the services that they actually need.
Your system is so interwoven in Lane County. And so, a lot of things that happen in the county are visited upon your customers as well as your employees. You know, we talked about this a little bit, but obviously, you know, driver safety and passenger safety must be paramount. And sort of how do you help, you know, do the best that you can as a system to make sure that everybody, you know, gets where they need to go safely?
Yeah, a couple of different things. One, you know, we feel we provide a high level of technical training for one, how to maneuver these vehicles in the environments that they're in. But then, you know, as we talked about, you know, the society has changed. So we give our frontline employees other tools as well. We give them de-escalation training. We help them through role-playing. We're looking at how do we support them through trauma-informed care. We're looking at that as well. But one thing that we've done as well is we've added a new position called a community liaison. And what that person in that position does is goes out, interfaces with nonprofit organizations, interfaces with the houseless community. And that helps us in a couple different ways. One, it gives us a deeper understanding of the needs. It helps us to figure out what to solve for. It helps us to take those considerations into effect as we're putting together policy. And it helps us to implement that policy in ways that will be successful. And having that interaction and that understanding helps, again, our frontline employees to kind of understand what kind of help an individual that's in front of them in the moment may need. That help may need public safety officer, and we're investing in that area as well. Or that help may need something else, like a white bird or a cahoots or just a road supervisor to help them through that moment and get them where they need to be. Yeah. So understanding those range of options is how we're trying to protect our people and our community.
Yeah. In fact, it maybe could be said that sometimes people probably feel safer on the bus than maybe waiting for the bus in certain options.
We have studies that show that, Michael.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, we do a lot of surveying of customers, and we're involved with what's called the American Bus Benchmarking Group. That's a real thing. And we're able to look at how people feel when interacting with our service. And what we found is, you know, there's a perception and there's a reality around safety, but there's also the realness of how people feel. And sometimes they feel safer on a bus than they do while waiting for the bus. And that goes across gender lines as well. So we look for that, and we're trying to address that and how we're doing our public safety approach.
Speaking of safety, you know, if there might be a message from the boss to the motoring public about, you know, sharing the roads with buses, because I think that, you know, we're used to seeing buses out on the road, but obviously there's a big difference between a 40 or a 60 foot bus and a 3,000 pound car that people are used to driving. Talk a little bit about that.
There absolutely is. The big buses can be unforgiving, right? They can be unforgiving. You know, we train our operators well. Our operators are trained professionals. They It is an exhausting job because they train on the method where they're constantly surveying mirrors or constantly being careful. But we have had incidents. You may have seen some of the red paint that's in some of the lanes. Well, that red paint is designed to help motorists understand that this is a lane for a 60-foot vehicle.
Yeah.
Sometimes the motorists aren't aware or don't know the rules. We get reports of bus drivers running red lights. They're not running red lights. What's happening is there's a different cue jump for the MX system.
Yeah.
And it, sometimes the motorist light is red, but the MX bus goes. The motorist needs to be looking at their light as well. So just a little bit of education that way. But, you know, our operators are trained to look for all of those things as well.
Yeah. So I imagine, you know, back at HQ, at headquarters, you probably get a good opportunity to spend some time with your operators. I'd love to hear kind of, you know, what are some of the things they share with you, if you want to tab it, the good, the bad, and the ugly of what they see, what they experience, you know, kind of some of those stories that they share with you.
Yeah, so our operators will share a lot. Our mechanics will share a lot as well,
okay.
As will our facilities folks and our public safety folks. Again, very engaged with community, want to do well for community. You know, we recently had to reduce some service, and we did that because our operators were getting tired. You know, they were getting tired. We need to add more bus operators, and, you know, they recognize that. And it's not that people wouldn't want to fight through that to serve community. We realize that, you know, that let's back off here because it actually can turn into a safety concern.
Sure.
So, you know, listen to our operators in that way. We've had schedule changes based on feedback from our operators. We had a customer who's trying to make it from Peace Health over to Junction City, and our schedules were such that she'd missed a connection frequently. We had operators figure that out, and they suggested a work through for our planning group. Now that person gets back and forth to work every day without issue. So they'll tell you all kinds of things. I have stories from kids being recognized that are out of place or able to get them some help because they weren't in the right place. We've been able to help people who are having medical issues. I had one operator who delivered chest compressions for over 11 minutes, helped save a life about a year ago. So all these kinds of stories are there. And as you said earlier, what happens on our bus is a reflection of our community. We're a microcosm of the community. There is not a special bubble around us. So they're very aware of what's going on, and they're able to contribute in many ways.
Yeah. You know, a couple of last questions. I was thinking, you know, obviously, I imagine you keep up with the latest trends, and we're all always excited about the latest and greatest with regard to technology and transportation. And, you know, this idea of autonomous vehicles and, you know, GPS-enabled systems, I'm not asking you to look at a crystal ball, but I mean, are there some kind of interesting develops either that you've already implemented or things that you're looking at that could become part of the fabric of a bus fleet in the not-too-distant future?
Sure, I think so. You know, we talk about autonomy. I don't ever advocate for a 40-foot bus running around the city without a driver on it.
Okay.
You know, there's going to be needs on that bus that only a human can fulfill. But I do know that there are driver assist techniques. So when we dock at an MX platform, can some of that LiDAR technology help us to dock more consistently, more evenly, so when our ramps deploy, it's easier for someone who's using a mobility device to board and offload? Are there ways for us to put in safety enhancements so there's detection with lane usage? And are there ways to better enhance the recognition of people that may be in roadways for areas that are dark? So I think there are all kinds of opportunities, but at the end of the day, there'll be a person on the vehicle because people need help from people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think my last question for you is simply this, you know, kind of what are you most optimistic about with regard to LTD, both today and in the near future?
You know, I'm optimistic because the sky's the limit here. You know, I've talked to a lot of people here, and the basic question that I get from people who like transit, don't like transit, or don't understand transit, the basic common question is, what are you solving for? And I think that's a good place to start, no matter where you are on that range, because that gives an opportunity to explain the problem and the different range of solutions and how can we impact or implement those solutions that best reflect our community. And so I've had plenty of those conversations. I think that it's a new day with LTD, and I think it's a new day with how we're engaging our community and, quite frankly, how our community is engaging us, and I love it.
Great. Well, we've been talking with Jameson Otten. He is the CEO of Lane Transit District. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, We're getting out of the studio and into the yard at LTD to talk to a veteran driver and hear all about his unique job. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record. We're back. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record. We're outside at the LTD yard, and we're going to talk to a retired firefighter who swapped his fire truck for an LTD bus. Eric Moore, a bus operator here at Lane Transit District, thanks so much for talking to us. Boy, my first question for you is, how did you get into becoming a bus driver? What was the motivation, and why'd you want to do it?
Well, the motivation was after seeing it was either a 60 Minutes or a 2020 television show. There was a general or a retiring military official that wanted to give back to the community, and he chose to drive a school bus. And I thought about the similar thing. However, after discussing it with my wife, she suggested, what about a city bus? So I interviewed, and here I am.
What was it like? I mean, obviously, you know, talk about your training and talk about sort of perhaps maybe your first few runs on your own. What was it like navigating such a huge vehicle and also being in charge of so many people on that bus?
Well, for me, it wasn't all that terrible because I'm retired from the fire service after 31 years, so I'm used to driving large vehicles. However, the training here by far, in my opinion, exceeded any other training I've ever had, even in the fire service, for how to operate and handle such large vehicles. It's an 8-week program, and the focus is heavily on safety, not only for myself, my riders, those that are on the road along with us. And that includes other motorists, motorcyclists, bicyclists, skateboarders, scooters, I mean, everything, pedestrians, everything that's out there now.
I was talking to the boss, Jameson Otten, the CEO of Lane Transit District, and he talked about the fact that sometimes with a bus operation, maybe the easiest part is driving the bus, and maybe the most challenging is dealing with all of the people and just all of the, you know, the other motorists. You know, talk about that, those challenges as the bus operator.
Well, first, getting out, it is a challenge for those that aren't familiar with such large rigs navigating in the city and whatnot. Once you've been doing it for a while, it becomes almost second nature. However, dealing with our riders is a challenge every day because you have everything from mental illness, disabilities. What I mean by disabilities is those in mobility devices, whether it's a wheelchair or a walker or anything that's assisting them in being mobile. And then just dealing with everyday people, from little babies to seniors.
This is one of my favorite sort of interview questions when I talk to people. What's the best part about the job? And then conversely, what's the most challenging part of being a bus operator?
The best part for me is being behind the wheel. It's just something I love to do. I've loved to drive since before I was able to get a license. The most challenging part is not knowing how your day is going to turn out, dealing with all the different riders that we deal with, but being flexible enough to be able to deal with them, and the support we have here in operations and the company as a whole.
Okay. Obviously, here in the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of weather challenges. I wanted to ask you, you know, in terms of in all your experience driving, what's the worst type of environment to drive in? And then how do you respond as a driver of such a huge, heavy vehicle?
The worst would be ice. Because speed and ice do not mix. And so we're trained heavily on how to deal with ice. And basically we slow down, and we do have buses that have automatic chains on them. But for the most part, it's just slowing down.
dealing with the public, you know, kind of as you're driving and having to be cognizant of being safe, you know, what are some tactics maybe you've used? Because obviously I imagine there are times when people get on the bus and they might create trouble. You know, kind of how do you help to maintain control of the people on the bus?
For me, it almost comes second nature. I do have kind of a commanding presence, and then when I do get on the PA system, my voice is kind of booming, I've been told. So it gets the attention of my riders, and 9 times out of 10, they will comply. If not, I'll call operations and get help from our security team.
Great. My last question for you is sort of, if you could share with us maybe either humorous or just interesting, or just a time when, you know, something happened on your bus where you kind of had to sort of perhaps even think outside the box.
Well, it's not necessarily humorous. Like I said, we deal with a lot of people on a daily basis. And this one instance was I was doing my last run. And I was driving MX. I was on the west side of town on West 11th. And I saw this child, must have been no more than 12, 13 years old, walking. And you're talking about this is probably 11, 12 o'clock at night. So my instinct was to pull over and ask him if he needed any help and where he was going. Well, he was trying to get way over here to Springfield, where he lived. And the only ride he had was his 2 feet. So I called my operations. I asked them if it was okay to give this kid a ride to Springfield. They said yes. So this kid got a custom ride, the only person on this 61-foot bus, to Springfield. No stops.
Nice, nice. You know what? I lied. Here's my last question. It's just from you, a message to the motoring public is what would you tell people when they're driving around a bus? What's a good sort of way to think about interaction with a bus?
They need to realize we're a multi-ton vehicle carrying many lives. And when they cut in front of us to make that turn they think they're going to miss, or whatever it may be, we can't stop on a dime. And if we try a hard stop, a lot of our passengers will go flying forward. So my message to them is just be patient. Realize that we can't stop quickly, and let us pass.
Great. Well, Eric Mora, bus operator here at Lane Transit District, thanks so much for talking to us.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
That's our show. If you missed any of it, all Oregon on the Record episodes are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Next week, you'll hear from the new executive director of the Boys and Girls Club of Emerald Valley and hear about the work they do to keep kids safe, engaged, and educated. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.